Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Go ahead and go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll get in part 5 here, and we'll give you the word right before we go here. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. I want to share tonight, or this, I guess this morning. I'm already two tonight. Not really. But this morning on how much God cares for you. And this is the second part. We've really seen the theme of this all the way through the service today. But this is the second half of this verse. So let's pray and believe God, and we'll receive the written word this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you for utterance in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it and for boldness to speak as I ought to speak. I thank you, Lord, for your love. And that you are opening the eyes of those who are hearing, Lord, not only here, but then also on the internet as well. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on the reality of the fact that he cares for you. Do you know, you cannot determine the care of the Lord for you by your circumstances. The promise supersedes the circumstance. So this is a great example of this. And I wrote some of these things down that the Lord had spoken to me. He said, stop putting off the promise of peace from God, waiting for all the troubles of life to end. The peace is supernatural, not natural. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many know that hits you? You hear those things, like, oh, goodness. Living worry-free does not have to do with living in perfect circumstances. It has to do with tapping into greater levels of grace that are available to us in Christ Jesus. That's what it has to do with. Now, peace is not conditional. It is supernatural and accessed by faith alone. Peace is not conditional. It's supernatural and it's accessed by faith alone. Now, when you access grace of peace by faith, you bring it into the natural. But how many know there are things that are out of your control? Amen? Okay? There are things that are out of your control. Now, that doesn't mean you have to live in them. Okay? There are things, and we need to understand this as far as the jurisdictions of our authority, and we probably need to go back and visit some of those truths on the believer's authority. If you are working out of your own peace through working out your own peace, let me restart that. If you are working out your own peace through trying to control all your circumstances, then you are not in faith. Well, when this happens, then I'll have. Mm-mm. No, Jesus has already purchased it all. We need to access it by faith. Amen? So then he says this. He said this to me. The promises of God are manifested in spite of the circumstances, not because of them. That's good, isn't it? Some of these you gotta think about because it's counterintuitive to the natural mind. The promises of God are not governed by circumstances. They come in by faith and govern circumstances. Did you hear me? The promises of God are not governed by circumstances. They come in by faith and govern circumstances. Okay? So you have promises, and those promises are yours to use, and one of them is that God cares for you. Now, 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Amplified says this. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on God. Amen. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now, you're going to say this with me. Say it, God cares for me affectionately. Woo-hoo. Now you got to believe this by faith because you know you. You know all your fleshy, your fleshiness, your those tendencies. But God cares for me affectionately. And what? Watchfully. He watches. Look at this in the Amplified. And watches over you very carefully. That word careful does not mean worry. That word careful actually means forethought, supply, nutrition. It has to do with the fact that God sees ahead in advance and has already provided a victory for you in the midst of your circumstance. Praise the Lord. He watches over me carefully. That means that God is going, there's Sean, there's Sean, there's Sean. You over here, that's Sean right there, 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 there he is, there he is, there he is. But it's not a worry. It's an affectionate, caring love. Now you have to believe this. You got to exercise your faith this morning. You're going to need to. Because when you start seeing how good God is and you start realizing, see, most people think Christianity is dying and going to heaven. It's more than that. Heaven's great. I want to die and go to heaven. I mean, in that sense, I'd rather have the rapture. But either way, do you understand what I'm saying? I'd rather have him return and we change in the twinkling of an eye. But either way, I don't care. I want to go to heaven, but I was promised heaven here on earth. Did Jesus not say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Last time I checked, we were on earth as it is in. Okay? So we can have this understanding of this care. We can walk in the same peace that Jesus walked in the back of that boat when it was sinking. We can have that exact same peace. I'll take that back. We have that exact same peace. Right now, you have it. It's available on the inside of you. You have it in you. And God cares for you. He watches over you with forethought, with interest. Listen to this in the Bible in basic English. It says, for he takes care of you, putting all your troubles on him, for he takes care of you. In the New Living Translation, it says this, for he cares about you. Don't ever let come out of your mouth, God doesn't care about me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the enemy. It is wrong. It is false. You ought to treat it like crack cocaine. I said, what do you mean by that? You don't want to get caught with it. You want to treat it like the worst, most vile thing. God doesn't care about me. If that thought comes to you, you better stand up and go, he gave Jesus. He cares more for me than I care for myself. Amen. Your faith is going to soar. For he cares about you. The message says this, he is most careful with you. Isn't that good? It doesn't matter where you're at, what's going on around you. You've got God with you going, I'm most careful with this one. Woo! Praise the Lord. He sees everything. He knows. 1 Peter 5:7. Let him have all your worries and cares. This is the Living Bible. For he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. People say, God forgot about me. He's always thinking about you. I walk around and go, God's always thinking about me. God's always thinking about me. He's always thinking about me. I wake up in the morning and go, God. And he said, I was just thinking about you. Come on. Faith is rising right now. Why? Because he cares for us. He watches over us. He's concerned with us. He's not worrying over us. He's not afraid for our circumstance. He's prepared ahead of time. He's the Father, come on, who leaves an inheritance for all generations. He did it all. He covered it all. People have these concerns or worries and fears that they're living in, and they don't need to because God's going, I'm thinking about you. Let's talk about it. The other day, I was praying about something. I said, Lord, why? And I was praying about, I was asking him about a situation or another minister who had an encounter with him. And I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what made that person, you choose that person to have that kind of conversation with, have that kind of encounter with? And I'm just meditating and thinking about these things. And the Lord said to me, he said, Sean, I'd rather just talk to you instead of talk about one of the other kids in the family. Whoo! Well, it's time for a new conversation, I guess. In other words, God doesn't want me looking at somebody else going, you care about them. No. He's saying, I want to know you. That hit me. You ever have the Lord tell you something and it just hits you? And you go, oh, course correction. You're driving on the rumble strips. Good, I'm glad that hit. Thank the Lord for utterance in the Holy Ghost. The Lord, the word care, and the, or actually, it means especially the care of forethought and interest. In the visual thesaurus, it says, share the suffering of, feel concern or interest. Jesus did not just share in my suffering, he took it. He did not just feel my concern or interest, he took it all on himself and resolved it. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. The word sustain means to maintain, to contain, to support, to nourish, to hold in, to restrain, to be supplied. You are supplied by the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. He has forethought of supply. Even if you messed up the supply to this point, he's got more supply. God is not in heaven going, no, I gotta help them no more. His mercy endures forever. Now, you can't make up necessarily those years in a sense, but you can always tap into what's always been available and get the most good out of it you can through your faith. Amen? To sustain, he endures. He causes us to sustain. So how do we know that God cares for us? John chapter 10, verse number 7 says this, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse number 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it what? Does that sound like care to you? Does that sound like God cares for you? That sounds exactly like God cares for you. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. The Passion Translation says it this way. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Somebody say it. God cares for me. Verse number 12 says this. Or verse number 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his what? Life for the sheep. But the hireling, verse 12, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Too many people see the enemy coming and run. We are not to run. The devil is supposed to run. I've got scripture to prove it. You, and we talked about this last week. You're supposed to buy the devil a pair of running shoes. The Bible says, bless those that curse you. He's trying. Come on, think about it now. What do you mean by that? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will. Does Jesus care about you? When the wolf came, did Jesus run? No, as we talked about in leadership this morning, he loaded up. Wolves, what do? Let's go hunting. Why? Because he's the shepherd. He's the good. He never abandons the sheep, ever. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11 says, Romans chapter 8, verse number 32 says this, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Romans 8, 32, that's the message. He gave his son, why? To prove his care. He watches over you carefully. You are now getting ammunition right now, right in this moment, right when I'm preaching and teaching this word, right now, by the Spirit of God, you are now getting words that will unlock your faith to be able to receive greater. You can look back over your life and go, I speak mercy over that thing, and I thank you, Lord, that the future is so bright. You are receiving information that if you let it sink in, if you meditate on it, if you take it in about the care of God for you, about understanding what he did in Jesus Christ, it will unlock the potential of the promises inside you to be able to receive based on grace, not on works. You have to take it, though. You have to be a fighter and take it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 in the New King James, it says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The good shepherd never leaves the sheep. People say, well, there's wolves. Yeah, but the shepherd's here. Yeah, but the wolves are roaming. I know, the shepherd is here. We do not have a God who is a hireling. We do not have a God who has no care for the sheep. We have a God who runs in the middle of the wolves and starts whacking them on the head with his shepherd's staff. We do not have a God who is absent, who is aloof, who doesn't care, who puts you on the planet, gave the world a spin, and left you. This is how people picture God. And it's partly the church's fault, because they preach things that were not in the Bible. They preach things like God was just way out in the universe somewhere, and we have to, oh, God, please hear me. The Bible says when we pray in the name of Jesus, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we have the desires that we ask of him. He always hears us. He's always careful and watches over us. Hang with me just a little bit here. Psalms chapter 34, number 15, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. See, I told you, he hears you. People say, well, I'm not righteous. If you're born again, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He hears you every single time. Well, I just don't know. Well, then you won't be bothered with the answer then. Amen. No, he hears me every single time. Well, it doesn't look like I had the answer yet. I stand in faith until I see, until I know. His eyes are on me. His ears are open to me all the time. Even when storms are billowing, even when it feels like we're sinking, the Lord's going, yes, Sean, yes, yes, I see you. Yeah, go ahead. Ask, speak, declare. Let me move. I'm watching over you. I have angels right here. Go ahead. Use your faith. Do it, Sean. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Speak to the sickness. Speak to the storm. Speak to the situation. Go ahead and stand and believe me, Sean, and watch me move. I'm not quoting to you my words. I'm quoting to you his words. I'm just applying them to me. Psalms 34, 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Thank you, Lord. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You know, how many know the enemy, the battle we fight is not against flesh and blood? How many know God is already against the devil, and he's already done everything he's going to do about the devil, because he already completed the work? It's the church needs to rise up and be against the enemy too. If we would stand against him in corporate faith, imagine the land that we would clear out of giants. Verse number 17 says this, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their distress and troubles. Somebody say all. Ooh, glory. Verse 18, the Lord is close to those who have a broken heart and saves such as are crushed with sorrow and humble and repentant. How many know you need some humility? Amen. Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of half of them. How many? Come on, that should challenge your faith. Everybody in this room has a trouble that doesn't look like it's been brought into obedience yet. But the Lord said, all of them. All of them. Now, if I can get the church, if the Lord can get the church to just go ahead and say what he said. Well, if the Lord, you know, he could, you know, I don't want him to, you know, have to do everything. Oh, yeah, you do. You want all that God has. You want to possess every single provision made. All of it. Why? You'll bring glory to God. You'll be a witness and a light everywhere you go. Amen. The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are crushed in sorrow. Verse 19, many are the evils of the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34 says this, do not worry. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? God places levels of value on his creation, and it is okay that we do so as well. God values us much more than animals. God is not making a case that he is stingy here. God is lavish and in his love and provision. Jesus is not making a case that he's stingy, that God's stingy. Which of you by worrying can add a single stature to or a single cubit to your stature? I don't even understand what the word cubit means, but I get the idea. If you're short, you want to be taller, but worrying's not going to get you there. You don't have to worry. God is watching over you carefully. So rest inside. Rest inside. When worry thoughts come, say, no, 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 no. Devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. The Lord is watching over me right now. He's providing strength for me. He's provided joy for me. He's provided peace for me. 500 years ago, some Michael guy, he said, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. Now, because we're so medically advanced, there's a study that proves it. And I'll finish with this. This study looked into how many of our imagined calamities never materialize. In this study, subjects were asked to write down their worries over an extended period of time and then identify which of their imagined misfortunes did not actually happen. Lo and behold, it turns out that 85% of what subjects worried about never happened. And with the 15% that did happen, 79% of the subjects discovered either they could handle the difficulty better than expected or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. This means that 97% of what you worry about is not much more than a fearful mind punishing you with exaggerations and misconceptions. And I would say this, it's the enemy punishing you. Now, this is a medical thing, but it proves a point. Montaigne, that was the gentleman that made that statement, his quote has made people laugh for 5 centuries, but worry is no joke. The stress it generates causes serious problems. The stress hormones that worry dumps into your brain have been linked to the shrinking brain mass, lowering your IQ, being prone to heart disease, cancer, and premature aging, predicting marital problems, family dysfunction, and clinical depression, and making seniors more likely to develop dementia and Alzheimer's. This is just a medical study. If we could get a handle on worry that habitually, incessantly, and often unconsciously seizes hold of our mind, we would greatly increase the odds of living a longer, happier, and more successful life. But don't worry, new research has been found. That's just because they didn't read the Bible. If they would have just read the Bible, it's not even new research. It's thousands and thousands of years old. The Lord said, keep your mind on me and you will have peace. An example of someone who made this decision is an elderly woman. My friend Martha was asked to drive to the clinic for an annual checkup. Martha didn't know this woman. All she was told was that this person was more than 90 years old and probably quite frail. But the person who opened the door when Martha looked could hardly be described as old and frail. The person who stood before Martha was a sprightly lady who appeared to be in her 70s at most. Martha said, do you mind me asking how old you are? As they were driving to the doctor. 93, the woman answered. Martha was astonished. You look so much younger, she said. What's your secret? Well, honey, she answered, 30 years ago I made the decision to stop worrying, and I haven't wasted a moment of worry since. So if you're 63, guess what? You're in a good place. Just stop worrying. Go ahead and cast all your care over on the Lord. Just let it go. What if it all falls out and I die tomorrow? You're in heaven. Just relax. Yeah, but I didn't plan for this and I didn't plan for that. I know. Go ahead and cast it all over on the Lord because He cares for you. Watch. He is standing over you. He is watching you. He is thinking about you. He has planned ahead for you already. There are many of you that are in the room that you've allowed worries to stop dreams from coming to pass that you had in your heart, and you need to go ahead and shake all that off. And allow the product of grace to begin to manifest in your life to create for you what it is that you have in your heart that God gave you. It is not too late. So do your family a favor, do your spouse a favor, do your job a favor, do yourself a favor. I'm talking about living in favor. Stop worrying about it. And stopping worrying about it is not just saying, I don't care about anything. That's just selfishness. It's living in a place of rest and trust in God. And you can do it. Why? The Lord wouldn't ask you to do something that you couldn't do. He wouldn't ask you to believe in something that wasn't possible. And I love what God says through Jesus. All things are possible. Some of you will lengthen your life by 20 years if you just relax. And you'll look younger 20 years from now. You talk about a facelift. It'd take more muscle to frown. Amen. Just rest in Him. Well, what are we going to do for this? What are we going to do for that? The Lord supplies all of our need according to His riches and glory. Now, listen to me. This is how you fight this. Thoughts, circumstances, things are going to come. And they're going to be contrary to what the promise is. And the enemy is going to try and use these things that he either created or circumstances, however they came about, to be able to speak to your mind. And the moment it comes, you jump up and say, nope, God cares about me. I put that worry over on you, Lord, right now. And I just declare out of my own mouth, the Lord has provided for me in advance. He watches over me. He hears me when I cry to Him. He sees me all the time. He's thinking about me when I go to bed and when I get up. And He's provided an answer for this. So, devil, thank you for reminding me to declare that. People say, oh, no, I don't know if I want to say that. You had better say it. Because if you don't, then He'll fill your mind with worries. And your mind is designed to meditate. You've just called it worry. All you've done is meditated on the wrong thing. Make sense? So, meditate on the right thing. Speak. If the worry gets louder, you get louder. If it feels like, oh, I feel it all around me, it's crushing me. How many have ever felt that before? I'll raise both hands and my foot. I've felt it. What do? I get in my car, I turn on worship, and I just drive down the road with the window down, and it real loud. And I say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, how's it all going to come to pass, Sean? I mean, all these prophetic words, isn't there so much pressure? No, none, because it's not my word. It's His word. And I don't know if you know it. If I could peel back your eyes right now, the windows of heaven are open above me. Woo-wee! I know, you thought I was from the South. I just went to Bible school there. They're wide opened over me. You just don't see the manifestation yet. But guess what? It's coming. And it's coming to you too. You got to stand in your house and go, you feel the rain in here? It's just raining on us. It just rains out of heaven. Why? Because He's in heaven going, shovel it. All of it. And it's not the waste of heaven. It's the good things. There's no waste up there. Your future has been planned out from before you were born. All we get to do is jump into it by the leading of the Lord and go, wow, did you see what he did for? Wow, did you see? Did you see what he did? And then you take that goodness and you go to your neighbor who doesn't know the Lord or to your family and you go, did you see what the Lord did for us? And you become a witness. And people wonder what's wrong with you because you smile. Even the stock market went down. Or even though this happened or that happened. And people go, they must be on the drugs. I don't need a drug. I've got the Holy Ghost. There is no high like the Most High. I tried them. The other ones. Now I just live on one. And I never have a hangover. Ever. Never do. Always just the life of God. You say, you ever have contrary feelings? Oh, I'm on the planet. I live here. But you know what? God watches over me. I believe that even in the midst of what the enemy thinks in his trials, tribulations, and what he's been able to accomplish, I believe that my best days, and it's manifesting now. How about you? Let's stand. Stand with me. Let's declare it. Come on, let's declare it. In the name of Jesus, you speak it out over your own life. The best days are ahead. The brightest days are ahead. The best is yet to come for this area. The best is yet to come for the church. The best is yet to come for your family, for your kids. The Holy Spirit is moving in your kids' lives. I know there are situations represented here where you have, there are parents that are trying to live for the Lord and parents that don't even care because of decisions that have been made and things that have happened in the past. But I declare to you in the name of Jesus that the Lord is working in your kids' lives. The Lord is working in your kids' lives. The Lord, He sees and He knows. He has heard the prayers. He knows the situation and He needs you to agree with Him that even through tears, if you've been crying about it, about your children because of their situation, if you've been upset or even have felt even almost a depression about it, go ahead and speak what God speaks. Speak over those kids that they are knowing the Lord, that they are seeing the Lord, that the Holy Spirit is protecting them, the angels are encamping round about them. The dream is not lost. The promises of God are manifesting. They are, if you will speak them out, if you will declare them, if you will stand and not be moved until you see full manifestation, the promises of God will govern the situation. You will get down into the middle of the situation and what seems like wolves have tore up, you will begin to destroy the teeth of the wolves. You'll begin to drive them out. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for how you've ministered to people this morning. I bless your people in the name of Jesus, Lord. We declare over us, you always hear us, you always see us. You see and you hear, you're always watching. You're always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And your word is coming to pass in our lives. Every promise is true. Every word is true. So we just lift our hands and praise you for it right now. Thank you, Lord, for it. We believe it. We take it. And we will have testimony of it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Don't leave here if you need prayer. And don't forget about Wednesday night. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.